Let's take a journey back to 2003. Canadian teen sensation Avril Lavigne was topping the charts and turning the music industry upside down. But what if I told you that the Avril Lavigne we know and love might not be the same Avril? What? Did Avril die? Was she replaced by a doppelganger? I'm Joanne McNally, and I'm doing a deep dive into a notorious internet conspiracy. Who replaced Avril Lavigne? Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This podcast is an extended version of The Debaters, which may contain more mature themes. To stream the radio-friendly version of this episode, download the CBC Listen app or go to cbc.ca/thedebaters. And thanks for listening to the CBC.
Hey, Canada, we're right where we ought to want to be. From Ottawa, Ontario, it's the Debaters! The Debaters, where comedians fight with facts and funny, and this audience picks the winner. Now here's a man who's the real deal, Steve Patterson.
Hey! Hello, Canada! Welcome back to the Debaters. We're here in our home away from home, Ottawa. Beautiful Ottawa, Ontario. A town that loves its sports rivalries. For example, the one between the Carleton Ravens and the University of Ottawa GGs. One of those names sounds a lot like a 70s disco band. And I can only hope that they have a cheer that helps sway the referees during the games.
That was offside. That was offside.
Thank you. Thanks. That was bang on. Now, are you ready to meet two comedians who
feel like debating?
All right. This comic speaks of her old camping equipment in the past tense. It's Newfoundland's own Lisa Baker. Lisa Baker of Newfoundland, Labrador. There she is, striding confidently across the stage, taking her spot at the lectern to my right. And this comic was fired from his hot air balloon job because he was afraid to let anyone down. It's Hisham Kalati. Hisham Kalati. He's flying in, he's giving the airplane, he's throwing kisses. Now for a debate that we believe will be rock solid. Is it time that we have a prime minister from Newfoundland? This country is always thinking about who should be Canada's next prime minister, and Canada has never had one from Newfoundland, so why not? We could do a reality show in Newfoundland called Canada's Next Prime Minister, where we put all the party leaders in the middle of Gros Morne National Park and see who can make it out. For once, the Green Party leader would have an advantage, since they're the only ones who truly know what to do in nature. Though I have seen leaders from all parties whose words would make excellent fertilizer. Now, you're all primed for us to administer a great debate, so whereas many Canadians would welcome a change in Ottawa, be it resolved, the next Prime Minister of Canada should be from Newfoundland. Lisa, not surprisingly, you're arguing for this. You have 2 minutes, please, starting now. Lisa Baker.
Having a Newfoundlander as Prime Minister would do so much good for Canada. We're clever, resilient, resourceful, and hilarious. Not only would it be entertaining, it would also be educational. I mean, literacy rates would soar since every media outlet feels the need to give Newfoundlanders subtitles. All meetings and press conferences would be over before you could blink. Newfoundlanders aren't obsessed with saying every letter and every word and every word and every sentence. A Newfoundland Prime Minister would be up and on the go a full 30 minutes ahead of the rest of the country. We would save a ton of money when the government stops spending thousands on swanky parties in lieu of kitchen parties, complete with a squeeze box, spoons, and an ugly stick. Don't know what an ugly stick is? Elect a Newfoundlander as PM and you will. Baked apple wine and homebrew will be served along with bologna, cod tongues, and Mary Brown's fried chicken. Oh, and try declaring war against a country where the leader answers you with a, yes, my ducky. Can we fight? Sure you knows we can. Just ask Quebec how we got Labrador. And Ottawa didn't say boo during that bracket. Too busy skating to work on the canal, acting all bougie, telling each other how much better they are than the rest of the country in their version of French, right? Makes up their own language and got the nerve to make fun of how Newfoundlanders speak. You're just as hick as the rest of us. Now pucker up and kiss the cod.
Lisa Baker, everybody. Lisa Baker on why Canada should have a prime minister from Newfoundland. Now, here to try to screech his opposition to a Newfoundland PM, here's Hisham Kalati.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Just so you guys know, CBC did not provide a translator, so I have no idea what Lisa just said. But I think it's safe to say everything she said is completely wrong, okay? The next prime minister should not come from Newfoundland. We humble Canadians don't like these coastal elites with their private boats dining on lobster. When my family came to Canada, we were legally required to spend 3 years assimilating in St. John's, Newfoundland, before we could be released to the mainland. And here's the thing, guys. The people of Newfoundland were the kindest, warmest, sweetest, most Canadian people I have ever met, making them the worst possible candidates to be politicians. They'd greet foreign dignitaries at the G7 by saying, "Nice bum, where are you from?" Now listen, if this is a debate about solely preventing Pierre Poilievre from becoming prime minister, then I'm all for it, okay? I'd rather not be forced to purchase ivermectin with Bitcoin because we live in the freest country in the world. Anyway, Lisa, no matter how you feel, you alone cannot simply just decide who's going to be the next prime minister. Who do you think you are? Ontario? Thank you so much.
Hisham Kalati is not in favor of having a prime minister from Newfoundland. I did not know that you took your route into Canada through St. John's. How long were you there for?
About 3 years. We had to leave immediately as soon as I started learning English. Because my mom's like, you can't be black, Muslim, a refugee, and also have a Newfoundland.
I think that would be a pretty good combo. It is time now, debaters, for the bare knuckle round. This is just a term we use, Lisa. We're going to take a gander at whether Canada's next PM should be from Newfoundland. So whether you're a small L liberal or a great big C conservative, if yez come from away and rock this debate, the audience will love yez for it. If you lose, we'll say bye, bye, and show you the Labrador. Put your fate in the hands of cod now.
Newfoundland only has its own time zone because the first guy to own a watch in Newfoundland set it 30 minutes ahead by accident, and everyone just went along with it. Imagine he was prime minister.
He got the entire country to go along with him, didn't he? That's a selling point. Are you even trying to win?
All right. Newfoundland is a province literally made up of crazy uncles and kooky aunts, and you want one of them to be in charge? Prime Minister Gary trying to convince the Chinese ambassador to kiss the cod? Or Minister of Treasury Joanne setting up a bingo night to fundraise for the new fighter jets?
You keep Uncle Gary's name out of your mouth. All right? He's the hardest working man I know, especially since he gave up the liquor and now he only drinks beer.
That's the bare knuckle round. That escalated quickly. I gotta stop it there before the slapping starts, you know? All right, we are debating whether you should have a prime minister from Newfoundland, and it's time now for the firing line. In my hand, I have a list of questions on Canada having a Newfoundlander prime minister brought to you by polls. Polls, whether you're fishing or voting, they're the best way to cast. Not a big fishing or voting crowd here today. After a trip to Ottawa in 2004, why did Newfoundland and Labrador Premier Danny Williams remove all Canadian flags from public buildings? Lisa.
Because he said that red was the color of harlots.
He probably did. That's not what I have here, but I'm still going to give you a point. Hisham?
It was laundry day.
Good guess. He was insulted by the deal that Ottawa offered for offshore royalties, so he took down all the Canadian flags. Pretty harsh. What was the name of the party founded in Newfoundland and Labrador that ran in the 2008 federal election? Hisham.
The NDP, the Newfoundland Drinking Party.
Pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm gonna give that 1 point. Lisa.
No, you're wrong. Grow up. It was the kitchen party. That was the party.
Good answer. There ain't no party like a Newfoundland kitchen party. The name of the party founded in Newfoundland and Labrador that ran in the 2008 federal election was the Newfoundland and Labrador First Party. And they got 0.01% of the popular vote, which stretches the definition of popular. In 2010, Newfoundland and Labrador Premier Andrew Fury said he was ecstatic over what political achievement that hadn't happened since 1979? Hisham.
All the Newfoundland MPs that were elected were all named Terry, even the lady one.
Incorrect. He's trying to sell you with a smile, folks. Lisa.
The Prime Minister finally pronounced Newfoundland correctly.
They've been doing it wrong up until then?
They always says it wrong, Steve.
What is the proper one? Let's get that for the record.
Newfoundland.
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 Yes.
I feel like I'm saying it.
You're saying it right.
Okay. No, he was ecstatic because two Newfoundland MPs were in the federal cabinet. It's getting closer. That's the firing line, everybody. It is just about time for our fantastic Centerpoint Theater audience to vote. But first, here again to turn the tide on the idea of a Newfoundland PM, let's hear again from Hisham Kalati.
Thank you so much. Picture this. It's the year 2053. Canada has been under Newfoundlander occupation for 50 years. All the pictures of the Queen have been replaced not by King Charles, but by Sean Majumder. Pineapple Crush is now the official drink of Canada. And Great Big Sea has rewritten the national anthem. And yes, there are now bagpipes. New prime ministers aren't voted in, they are screeched in. Some of you don't know what that means, but trust me, you soon will. And every night before they go to sleep, every single Canadian is forced to kiss a cod on the lips. Is this the hellscape you want you and your children and grandchildren to be raised in? No. Then don't let a Newfoundlander become prime minister. Thank you.
Hisham. Not one of Newfoundland, Prime Minister. And for those who are just tuning in from Newfoundland, this is the debaters. We are kidding. Don't get angry at each other. Now, here to tell us why a PM from Newfoundland would be nothing short of a rock star, let's hear again from Lisa Baker.
I feel a Newfoundlander would be the best representation of Canada. We're tired of the Canadian stereotypes that do not apply to us. Let us flex our own stereotypes on the world stage. There's so much more to this country than Ottawa, contrary to what they believe. Let us take the spotlight, and no longer will we be associated with foolishness like A in a boot. Let yes, boy, and how you getting on become the colloquialisms Canada deserves to be associated with. I don't know how our neighbors to the south feel about Canada as a whole, but I know they love Newfoundlanders. If the Prime Minister is from Gander, we could probably end up absorbing the entire US. And then we'll break into song and dance and live happily ever after with the crowd from Come From Away.
Lisa Baker, everybody. Lisa Baker is open and welcome to the idea of a welcoming Newfoundland Prime Minister. Hisham Kalani is against. It's time to vote. Let's see what the audience thinks. By applause, who agreed with Hisham that when it comes to a PM from Newfoundland, that ship has sailed? Hisham Kalani. Okay, nice support. And who thought that Lisa's PM patter gave safe harbor to the idea of a Newfoundland PM? Lisa Baker. Sorry, Hisham, the crowd has spoken. The winner is Lisa Baker. Bring on a Newfoundlander as PM. Big hand for Lisa Baker and Hisham Kalani, everybody.
You're listening to The Debaters on CBC Radio 1. If you want to listen to our program live or on demand anytime, make sure you download the CBC Listen app.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart McLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ottawa, are you ready to meet your next pair of debaters? Let's do it then. When this comic gives as good as she gets, she usually ends up with nothing. It's Deborah Kimmett. Deborah Kimmett, one of our favorites, striding purposefully to my right. Looking ready. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Steve.
And this comic's cup runneth over when he bought a jockstrap a size too small. It's Ottawa's John Steinberg. John Steinberg. Back with us. Hi, John.
Hey, Steve.
Great to have you back. Debaters, your topic is sort of off the record, except we're recording it. Is keeping a secret bad? This one is close to my heart because my wife, Nancy, may be the most honest person in the world. But I keep reminding her that she doesn't have to tell everyone everything. We were checking out of a hotel right here in Ottawa once, and I whispered to her, they forgot to charge us for parking. She immediately turned to the front desk person and yelled, hey, you forgot to charge us for parking. And then I yelled at her, why would you do that? And next time we're not staying at a hotel together. Now, for a debate that you'll want to tell everyone about. So, whereas secrecy is known to be bad for your health, relationships, and peace of mind, be it resolved, don't keep secrets. Deb, you are arguing for this, please. You have 2 minutes, starting now. Deb Kimmett.
Nothing good happens after the sentence, let this be our little secret. Even if that little secret was something great, like if your mom said, you're my favorite, do not tell your brothers. Of course I'm gonna tell my brothers. That compliment is worth nothing if I don't rub that in their face. And speaking of faces, I have one of those faces people like to tell secrets to. They come up to me and they always talk out of the side of their mouth like this. And they listen, I have a bladder infection. Don't be putting that in one of your shows. And I'm like, first off, I have my own bladder infection. And secondly, I'm putting it in a show. And I'm upfront about this. I tell everybody, people say, can you keep a secret? And I'm like, no. This is why I could never be a therapist, because I don't have a poker face. I have a, why the hell would you do that face? And while we're at it, I could never be a spy. I'd walk around Ottawa saying, I'm a spy. I wouldn't even need waterboarding, just one guy just saying, tell me the truth, and it'd be WikiLeaks all over. I'm a spy, all right? You didn't need to put a bag on my head and make me take off all my clothes and drive me out here in the middle of nowhere? Oh, I didn't need to take off all my clothes? I hate secrets. I'm against them. I'm against all secrets, including secret deodorant, because it doesn't work and I reek even as I speak. Every conversation I start with, I've got news. And does that make me a blabbermouth? No, it makes me a fascinating person you'd like to sit next to at a dinner table.
Deb Kimmett, everybody! She says, don't keep secrets, share them. Now, here to enlighten us about why we should keep things in the dark, let's hear from the ever-secretive John Steinberg.
Okay, everybody. I'm going to talk for a while now. I'm going to say a bunch of things. But before I say the things I'm going to say, I want to take a moment to talk about the things I'm not going to say. Yeah, because that stuff would blow your minds. But I promise someone I won't say it. And I can't even tell you who that person is. Okay, fine, it was Steve Patterson. But that's all I'm saying. But if this debate could be decided based on things we don't say, I would have already won. There are some things you just don't want to know. Like when I was a kid, we had this old dog, Rusty. And one day my parents took him away in the car. I had to stay home with my sisters. And they didn't tell us where they were going, but he never came back. And I still don't know where they took him. But my parents are here tonight. And after we're done, I'm gonna ask them to take me to visit Rusty. He's gonna be so excited to see me. It's been like 30 years. Thank you.
John Steinberg on why it's good to keep secrets. Strangely, I don't have a lot of notes on what you just said. But sometimes it's what you don't say. It's time now for the bare knuckle round. We're debating whether it's healthy to keep secrets. So, speaking confidentially, feel free to make veiled threats at your opponent. We've declassified this topic, so you can shed light on it. As long as you're honest, I've got you covert. So go ahead and tell us something we don't know now.
So Deborah has made a lot of good points so far, but there's a bunch of things she's not telling us. like her social insurance number. And her email password. What's she hiding?
Well, actually, my email passwords are my social insurance number.
Okay, halfway there, I
guess.
But have you ever tried a hamburger with no secret sauce? It's terrible. There's no mystery to it.
If a burger needs a secret sauce, usually the mystery is the meat that they actually used. You know what I think is that I think evil grows in the dark, in the secret. So, I mean, whenever there's a huge crime in a neighborhood, what do people say? They're shocked because the quiet person, like yourself, has never said a word to the neighbors, never ever done anything overt. And that's the person who has bodies in the basement.
Would you prefer your murderers to be loud? Or?
All right. That's a good spot to stop the bare knuckle round. We are debating whether it's good to keep secrets on the debaters. For those who have just tuned in, this is not a true crime show. It is time now for the firing line. In my hand, I have a list of questions on keeping secrets brought to you by the aforementioned secret deodorant. Will our level of aluminum kill you? We'll never tell. In a study called The Physical Burdens of Secrecy, it was discovered that people who keep secrets think hills are steeper, distances are farther, and what else? John Steinberg?
Sand is sandier.
That's a good guess. Deb?
All garments are dry clean only.
Incorrect. They think hills are steeper, distances are farther, and they are less likely to help others with physical tasks.
Who said that?
It's a secret. Yes. All right. The audience is catching on now. The people of Ottawa gained a reputation for keeping secrets after it was reported that 1 in 5 residents discreetly do what? Deb?
Die a slow, lonely death of desperation in their own stench. Or eat beaver tails for breakfast? I don't know.
Those two things are related. Incorrect, though. John Steinberg for the steal.
Cheer for the Leafs.
Oh, oh, oh. Look at this. Those are fighting words there.
Now that was more offensive than hers.
It was. The people of Ottawa gained a reputation for keeping secrets after it was reported 1 in 5 residents discreetly use extramarital dating service Ashley Madison. That number was later disproven after Ashley Madison was hacked, presumably by a band of husbands who had never heard of AshleyMadison.com. According to WikiHow, if someone asks you to keep a secret, what should you know before you agree to hear it? Deb.
If after you hear it, you're going to be asked to testify.
That is good life advice. 2 points for that. John?
How long it's going to take.
That's a great answer. What you should know before you agree to hear it is the seriousness of the secret, which is a weird thing. I like John's answer better. That's the firing line, everybody. Here we are again at that magical time where the audience votes. But first, here again to tell us what his secret is to keeping a secret, it's John Steinberg.
And what about surprise parties?
Do we join this in progress?
I just wanted to start with an and, so. I love surprise parties. They combine my three favorite party activities. Showing up early, waiting for somebody else to show up, and then being really quiet for an uncomfortable amount of time. Colonel Sanders had a secret. It was a recipe for fried chicken. And he kept that secret his whole life. He took that recipe with him to the grave. Not literally. I checked. But it doesn't matter, because I have my own secret chicken recipe. Whenever I have friends or family over, I serve this chicken. And not one person has ever asked me for the recipe. Yeah, people love Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken, but they're less crazy about Lieutenant Steinberg's Ottawa Boiled Chicken. Thank you.
John Steinberg on why it's okay to keep secrets in a sort of plug for Colonel Sanders, but not really. Now, to tell us what a little birdie told her about why you shouldn't keep secrets, let's hear from Deb Kimmett.
Loose lips don't sink ships. Icebergs do. In fact, that big chunk of secret ice beneath the water killed hundreds of people on the Titanic. And just like that iceberg, secrets will kill you. Like old tight lips, John over here. A guy who looks like he's developing an ulcer as we speak. Right, John? I know your type. You invite someone over, I spill the beans, I tell you everything, and you go, uh-huh. I see. Okay, mother. And then I walk away knowing nothing about you, which is like every Tinder date I ever went on. But taking it to the grave doesn't make you mysterious, John. It makes you a lonely old person sitting on your friend's lazy boy chair, eating beef jerky from a bag, wishing you had someone to talk to. Thank you.
Deb Kimmett with a pretty clear picture of the future that may or may not happen. Let's see what the audience decides by your applause. Who felt that Deb's insistence that we not keep things under wraps was a gift to us all? Deb Kimmett. All right, here's the secretive types in Ottawa supporting Deb. And who felt that when John reluctantly shared his thoughts on keeping secrets, he withheld you in the palm of his hand, John Steinberg. Wow, well, it's no secret who they think won this one. The winner is John Steinberg, keep secrets. Big hand for John Steinberg and Deb Kimmett, everybody. Well, that's all for this week. I'm Steve Patterson saying it's no secret how to make debates concise and entertaining unless you work for the Leaders Debates Commission. I'll argue with you again soon, Canada. Good night.
The Debaters is created by Richard Side. This week's episode was produced by Josh Bailey, Graham Clark, Chloe Edbrook, and Nicole Callender. Continuity by Graham Clark, Diana Francis, and Gary Jones. Technical production by James Perella and Conrad Hijazzi. Story editing by Gary Jones. With special thanks to Katie Ellen Humphreys and David Pride. The executive producer of CBC Radio Comedy is Tracy Rideout. And thanks to everyone at the Meridian Theatres in Ottawa.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.